Hello there! Welcome to the International Business Podcast, a show for those who work across time zones, borders, and cultures. I'm your host, Leonardo, from Shanghai, but let's make it simple and just call me Leo. We also have a new co-host, Stefano, based in Paris. Lots of people have been asking me how to become guests on the International Business Podcast. What you have to do is follow these four steps. Number one, connect with me on LinkedIn, Leonardo Marra. You can find the link in the show description. Number two, send me your profile picture. Number three, send me your bio, approximately 300 words. Number four, answer the question, what makes you an international professional? Having guests sharing a remarkable experience from their international career is a crucial moment of each episode. Today we go back across the seasons of the show. What episodes did they share? Enjoy. I've got one final question, Kimberly, that I ask everyone who comes on the show, and I'm sure you do have many of these episodes, but I would like you to choose one. Tell us about one memorable moment from your international career that could be, I don't know, funny, catastrophic, or even a successful episode.
Sure. I was thinking about that earlier. And one of the stories that I tell people on negotiation in China, I was working with a company that made hand tools. And so they had a supplier in China and they were trying to get the supplier to do an extra production step. They wanted them to anneal is the technical term. They wanted them to anneal the product, which would harden it. And so the Americans kept asking, they had an agent who was working with the factory because the factory didn't have any English speakers and they couldn't export. So they kept asking the agent, please tell the factory we want them to do this annealing. And the factory was like, I don't think so. So the supply chain manager and I were visiting the factory in Jiangsu province, somewhere, Changsha or somewhere, Changshu. So we're at the factory, and again, the American, we're sitting, you know, the table, big conference table, and we're sitting across from the agent and the factory manager and a couple engineers. And the American said, and I let them know I speak Chinese at the beginning, you know, just because I think it's only fair, right? So it's always a little bit of, you know, so it's just a little bit of Chinese so that they understand that I understand, right? The American says to the agent, we want them to do this annealing. And the agent translates. And then the Chinese manager turns to his team and he's like, what the hell's wrong with these people? Are they stupid? We're one of the number one factories in the country. Our tools are hard enough. We have two other major clients in the US. They don't require us to anneal these tools. Why are these guys asking for it? They clearly don't know what the hell they're doing, idiots. So then the agent has to translate that back to the American, right? So the agent looks at the American and says, they'll think about it. So lesson number one is the agent's not good, doesn't want to insult you, doesn't want to blow up the relationship. It's not that he's trying to lie, right? So we get up and go to lunch. We go tour the factory. We come back in the afternoon and sit down. Now, the typical American way to manage this would be to say, I'm the customer, damn it. And I want you to anneal it. I'm willing to pay for it. You should just do it because I want you to. What's the problem? You know, but that's not what I did. I told the American guy, I said, let me handle this, right? So I looked at the Chinese manager and I said, you know what? I totally understand where you're coming from. And I couldn't agree more. I said, but here's our problem. I said, you know how the government is. I said, we have an opportunity to sell to the US military and the US government. And you know how they are. They have these stupid rules and expectations that don't make any sense whatsoever. But if you want to sell to the military and the government, you have to follow their rules. You can't argue with them. They require the product to be annealed. Even our engineers don't think it's necessary. But you know, if we sell to the military, that makes us the number one brand. Now, that was a lie. In the US, selling to the military or the government at your average product doesn't make you the number one brand, right? Like it does, but it's very true in China. It's very true in China. So, you know, basically, I'm giving them something that fits within their view, within their perspective, a reason that they can understand. So he looked at me and he said, absolutely no problem, we'll do it. So it wasn't about, you know, the American thought they had to either bully them or they had to pay more money or teach them how to do it. It's not that. It's that, and it's crazy. I had another recent client that was, he wanted someone in China to call a factory and ask about buying their product. And I said, it's not that easy. You'd think you could just call and they'd be happy to have a new customer. And instead they're like, who are you? How did you hear about us? Where are you coming from? You know, how are you going to sell our product? So, you know, it's again, very relationship driven and reputation driven. And so we solved the problem. It was great. Worked out. So that's one of my favorite stories.
I would like to know about one memorable moment from your international career, and you can pick one. You can choose a successful, a funny, or a catastrophic episode. Your pick.
Okay, I'll talk about a funny one since some of this has been a bit more serious.
I like that. Go. I want the funny episode.
Okay, cool. So one time I was in Colombia on a business trip, the country in the South America. We're doing a brand launch and driving around the country to some different cities. And one day we stay in this mountain area. And on the top there is a swimming pool. So we went there for a couple hours. It wasn't that long, but I guess because of the location and the height, I got like super sunburned on my face, shoulder, back, everywhere. And not just like red, but really sunburned, like a blistering and everything. So it was not a great situation on the business trip. And meanwhile, you know, in South America and Latin America, the people like to... when they greet you, they hug you and they like kind of pat your back. So every time people would like hug you and it feels like you're getting stabbed, but you can't say anything because it's not really like, you cannot say like, oh, like the people think you're really weird. So basically my face was all red. And then towards the end of it, even started peeling. And then to make it worse, I flew out from the last city, which is Medellin. Which I think you maybe know is kind of famous for being infamous like drug capital in the past. Not anymore, but still, it's pretty famous. Pablo Escobar, these guys.
I watch Netflix Narcos. I think probably exactly. Everybody watched that.
Exactly. So I flew out of there at like 5 a.m. like super early. Was really tired. Transferred to Bogota. And then flew to New York because I wanted to stay there. So I actually flew into the Newark airport. So I was going through the customs and I'm all like super tired. My face is peeling. I look terrible. And then they ask me where I'm coming from, the customs. And I'm just like, Colombia. And they're just like, yeah, just come with me. So they took me to the room, like a separate room, and like questioned me for like 20 minutes about what I'm doing and what's going on, where I went to school, everything. Yeah, so it was luckily I got out of there and it was a very interesting experience.
That was a long business trip. Huh?
Yeah, exactly.
and no hugs for maybe another 5 weeks, I guess.
Right, exactly, yeah.
I've got one final question, Tom, a question that I ask everyone who comes on the show. So share with us, tell us one memorable moment from your international career, and I'm sure you have many, but you have to pick one. And it could be a successful, a funny, or even a catastrophic episode.
The long-term lesson that I learned the most came from an experience that I had working, transitioning from my Japan business to my Korea business. So when I was in Japan, my team was, I mean, the average age was probably 50. We were 93% male. There's a word in Japanese, musukashi, which means very difficult, very difficult. And I would sit around the table with my team and I would try to motivate them to do things. I would say, hey, we have this data. We should do this. We can do this. And they would all say, Tom-san, musukashi, very difficult to do. I don't know, you know. And it was very hard to get people motivated to do things. And so, you know, it was a struggle. And then I was asked to go over and become a president and general manager of our Korea operations. I went to Korea. The average age of my team was around 38 to 40. And we were 60% female, completely different makeup of the team, but also Korean folks are more aggressive presenters of their ideas. They're more aggressive business people. And I wasn't prepared for that. So my first leadership team meeting, I sat down with the team and they were coming at me very hard. They were saying, well, Tom, we should do this. And Tom, we have this data. We should do this. We can support this. And I had been in Japan only 3 years, but I found myself kind of going, oh, you know, that could be very difficult. That could be very difficult. And so I had almost adopted some of the very cautious, careful deliberation that the Japanese take into my new job in Korea. And after about 6 months, my finance director came to me and he said, you know, we thought we were going to get this really high powered, really high pushing American guy. He said, but you're kind of Japanese. And I said, no, I said, well, my wife appreciates it. She actually thinks I'm a nicer person after 3.5 years in Japan. But the lesson there was, you know, the buildings in Korea look kind of similar to the buildings in Tokyo, and the folks in Korea from a distance kind of, you know, they have a lot of similar physical traits, but then when you get into the country, it's so different. And all of the learning that I had done in Japan about intercultural differences and trying to work things out, it was like when I moved to Korea, I became, you know, I was just a newbie all over again. I had all of this new stuff to learn and how to act and how to, you know, instead of pushing people to move forward in my previous role, I was pulling the reins in on my team in Korea. They wanted to do everything. They wanted to do everything today and pulling them in. So the learning was big. It was a really, really interesting move for us. I think I actually had more culture shock moving from Japan to Korea than I did moving from the United States to Japan.
Marco, I've got one final question that I ask everyone who comes on the show. So tell us about one memorable moment from your international career. This could be the most successful, the funniest, the most catastrophic episode. Your pick. If you're thinking that long, it means you're looking for the most catastrophic one, I guess.
Yes. But I think that best day of my life in terms of career, sorry, don't know my life, but in terms of my career is when I was working in this, it was a media agency in Madrid. I was like underpaid. I was treated like very, I can say bad words, but like very bad. They treat me for 1 year, they exploit me. That has been quite a nightmare for a long time. They didn't renew my contract after 1 year. And they left me without a job in the middle of the economic crisis of 2010, 2011, and so on and so forth. It was in Spain. So that's the best thing that happened to me because somehow it released a part of myself that was like very proud. I really took that opportunity as fuel for my next step in my career. And for at least 2 years, I pushed so strongly to have like to show to, first of all, to myself that I was worth a better salary, a better job, a better company, and better colleagues. And I did it. So, yeah, I definitely think that that catastrophic moment has been the best moment of my career. And I thank that, honestly, quite difficult media agency to almost fire me.
I've got one final question, Julien, a question that I ask everyone who comes on the show. I would like you to tell us about one memorable moment from your international career. You can choose between a happy, a successful, a catastrophic, or even a funny episode. Your pick.
For me, a very successful moment is when we are awarded new business, you know, when we win new contract, or when one of my Chinese employees that I recruited, mentor, trained, became very successful person. And those two moments for me are very emotional. But I want to share something maybe for the podcast today, a little bit more personal. That was, I gave a speech for an award that my company got from a key customer. I was in front of hundreds of people, mostly Chinese. It was also online. And I did it in Chinese. It was a challenge for me. I prepared it with one of my Chinese colleagues who helped me a lot to prepare it. And It was very much, it was successful for me to be able to do that. It was also funny because the translator was lost about what he should do with this guy who do not speak English anymore. And all the guest was a little bit funny about my accent, I think. But it was also emotional because it's my second home. You know, I live here since long time and I work with those people since long time, and to show respect about their culture and to show that I want to integrate, and to that's I receive a lot of positive feedback from them for trying to be with them even in the language. And that was very it's a very important moment for me in my career in China so far. So I'm looking to improve my Chinese and get more of those emotions. That was a big stress, you know, when there's so many people and you speak in a language where you are not yet enough strong, so it's emotional.
Tell us about one memorable moment from your international career. This could be a successful, a funny, or a catastrophic episode. I remember you told us about a successful episode. So today I'm expecting either a funny or a catastrophic episode.
Yeah, sure. Maybe this year I can tell you something funny, okay? So as you can see from my background, I'm Chinese, I'm a workaholic, I have a hybrid accent when speaking English, and I do understand sometimes Westerners think us Asia looks similar if you do not look into details about my eyes, about our nose, about our mouths, and etc. But I am a bit confused since I'm working on Asia market right now. And it's been more than 10 times this year that I've been asked from my clients or the candidates or even someone from the street that if I'm from Korea, or sometimes they just say something to me in Korean. Yeah, it's a bit funny, sometimes awkward, but it's fine. Yeah, I'm sure you got audience coming from all over the world, and there must be someone coming from Korea, right? So if you guys can help me figure that out, why that happens, that would be highly appreciated. Yeah.
Follow the show if you work across time zones, borders, and cultures. If you want to be a guest, connect with me and follow the four steps that I mentioned at the very beginning. For now, cheers.